We're on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis on the top of the Amud. Last thing that we had discussed on Mem Gimel Amud Beis on the bottom of the Amud was the question of the Nusach of Birchas Achas Mein Sheva, Achas Mein Shalosh with regard to Peros of Eretz Yisrael. On the top of Mem Dalet Amud Beis, the Gemara brings Machlokas Amoraim with regard to a Broch Achrona for Shar Minim. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu, in the name of Rav, Ala Be'a on an egg, V'al Minei Kufra, or any kind of meat. So these do not fit into neither Priya Dama, Priya Eitz, B'tchila Mevarech Shahakol. So Bracha Rishon is Shahakol, which is the Bracha Kolelis. Elabasof at the end, Bar Nefoshos Rabos, which is also a Bracha Kolelis. Aval Yarko Lo. If he eats a Yerek, according to this Shita Rav Yitzchak, he makes a Bracha Bar Priya Dama B'lefaneh, but he doesn't make a Bracha L'Achreh. Rav Yitzchak Amar, again, it's Machlokas between Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi and Rav Yitzchak, Afilu al Yarka, even on the Yerek, we make the Bracha Bar Nefashos afterwards. Avol Maya lo, but we don't make a Bracha after drinking water. Rav Papa Amar, Afilu Maya, we have to make a Bracha Bar Nefashos even after water. And the Pnei Yeshua writes that Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi understood that even though the Bracha Rishona is a general bracha rishona, and that includes everything, because asu lehenos min olam hazeh lo bracha, as far as bracha achron is concerned, which is only that the chacham were masmich to the, they saw an allusion, so to speak, to v'achalta v'savata v'erachta, and that pasuk appears in the parasha Shivas Aminim. You need something that's similar to Shivas Aminim. It has to have a certain chashivas. Basar is considered a davar chashiv, and therefore you make a bracha afterwards. Beitza also is a davar chashiv, as the Gemara is going to say shortly. But Yerek is not chashiv. We don't give that same significance to vegetables that we do to meat or eggs. And all this will be clarified as we go along. Rabbi Yitzchak, on the other hand, holds that even after a Yerek, we have to make a Bracha Achrona, because it's included on the V'achalta V'savata. Meaning, it adds calories, it fills up your belly. Mashenke Mayim, Mayim is something that's not Choshev at all. It doesn't even have the status of an Ochel. And then we get to Rav Papa, who says even on Mayim, we have to make a Bracha Achrona, because what we say is that we can apply the principle of shtia b'chlal achila, and therefore drinking water is considered like achila. Mar zutra ovid k'rab Yitzchak bar avdimi rav siri bar ashi ovid k'rab Yitzchak v'simono chad k'trei utrei k'chad. So we have two different minhagim l'maisa on this issue. We have Mar zutra, and he follows in the footsteps of Rav Dimi. Mar zutra is called Chad because we don't mention his father's name in this context, and he had the minhag of Kitrei like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, where we have both the son and the father's name, and that means that he would recite Bar Nefashos after Beitzim and Basa, but not after Yerek. And Rav Simi Bar Ashi, that's Trei, because we mentioned the father and the son, is Ovid K'Rabbi Yitzchak, that's Kechad, that's called Trei Kechad. He follows in the footsteps of Rabbi Yitzchak, and he made a bracha of Bar Nefashos even after Yerek, but not after Mayim. So no one here so far paskins like Rav Papa. Now the Gemara tells us about the minog of Ravashi. Omer Ravashi, Ano Zimnin Dechimidkarno Avida Kekulhu. So here's someone who did paskin like Rav Papa, and he would make a Bar Nefashos even on Mayim, but only if he remembered it. And the poskim wanted to derive from here that Ravashi was not so makbid about Bar Nefashos. It's not a chova, this bracha, but rather a reshus. The Gemara now brings a Mishnah in Masechta Nida to ask a kasha on Rav Papa. Tanan, we learned through the Mishnah, Kol Sheton Bracha Leacharov, Ton Bracha Lefonov. So if it needs a bracha afterwards, it needs a bracha before it. But Yesh Sheton Bracha Lefonov, even though we make a bracha Rishonah, Einon Ton Bracha Leachar, we don't make a bracha Achrona. Bishleim, according to Rav Yisrael Bar Avdimi, Lafuke Yarka. Because according to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, we make a bracha rishona on a yerek, but we don't make a bracha achrona. L'Rabbi Yitzchak, lafuki maya, we make a bracha rishona on mayim, but not a bracha achrona. L'Rav Papa, lafuki maya. After all, according to Rav Papa, we make both a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona mayim. So what's the case where we make a bracha rishona but not a bracha achrona? And the Gemara says that this Mishnah Nida is not talking about Birchas HaNenim at all. It's talking about Birchas HaMitzvahs, Lafuke Mitzvahs. In the case of a mitzvah, we recite the Bracha Lefaneh, and there's no Bracha Lachreha. So, for example, when you take off your tefillin, or you take off your tzitzis, or you finish Tkiyas Shofar, and Netilas Lulav, Achilas Matzah, you don't make a Bracha. In Eretz Yisrael, we should know, and the Gemara asks us a little bit as a kasha, it's not really such a kasha, but that we make a bracha in Eretz Yisrael after Siluk HaTefillin. And what is the Nuscha? Bracha Shekichon Mitzosetzonu Lishmar Chukov. And in this context, Chukov is a reference to Tefillin, because the pasuk says Ushmarta es hachuka zos lemoadam yom yomim. That's a reference to, that's in the parasha of Tefillin in Shpos Yud Gimel. And when and how do we fulfill Ushmarta es hachuka, referring to Tefillin lishmar chukov? That's when we take off our Tefillin to make sure that we're not going to be in any way mechal kedushas Tefillin. Now the Bnei Ma'arava thought that this pasuk, which is said by Tefillin, is going to teach us that the Zman of Mitzvah Tefillin is by Yom and not by Laila, and therefore night you're not allowed to put on Tefillin, therefore Siluk HaTefillin Samach L'Shkia is they would be Mavarach Lishmar Chukov, which means that protecting the Kedushas Tefillin because we're not allowed to wear Tefillin at night. With regard to Shar Mitzvahs, for example, Tzitzis or any other mitzvah, the Laila might be potum in a mitzvah, but nevertheless there's no Iser to wear Tzitzis at night. So we don't make a bracha of Shmiras HaTzitzis when we take off at Tzitzis. Now the Gemara here could have given an answer that the Mishnah is coming to exclude Tzitzis, where you make the bracha before and then not the bracha afterwards. I mean, why? How does Gemara know that this Mishnah includes tefillin? And then we have the kasha, the Gemara, that in B'nai, the B'nai Eretz Yisrael would make a bracha on Siluk HaTefillin. So let's assume that the Gemara wants to find an easier answer. And that's what the Gemara says, Lafuke, my Lafuke Rechani, which talking about Birchas HaReach. On Besomim, there we make a bracha before now and not lachreah. Seinuch Nami, the Gemara could reject this answer by saying that the Mishnah in Nida is referring to tzitzis and not to tefillin, but the Gemara has a better answer, and that is that we want to exclude rechani, that means a bracha on rechani, which is only a bracha before now, without a bracha leachreah. Now, also keep in mind that once we have this klal as psalmim, it becomes an absolute rule. Not in mitzvahs, it might depend. You have tzitzis where you don't make a bracha at the end of the mitzvah. But tefillin, we did make a bracha at the end of the mitzvah. Now, Tosus adds here another point. He says, we don't hold like the B'nai Ma'arava. Why? Because in the Gemara Menachos, it's quite clear that la'alocha laila is man tefillin hu. And if we don't wear tefillin at night, that's a gzeiras chachamim, because we're afraid of hafacha, we're afraid of violating the kedushas tefillin. And when the Torah says ushmarta es hachuka, It's not referring to tefillin at all, but rather to Korban Pesach. Oh, Rabbi Yanai, Omar Rav, Kol Shehu Kebeitza Beitza Tova Mimenu Leguf. No, it's anything that is the size of a beitza on the face of the earth is not as healthy as a beitza is. So this is another recommendation, a health recommendation of the Talmud. And what we're saying is that if you take, for example, a foodstuff that's more than a kibetza, maybe there the toelis is even greater than that of a beitza kibetza. But that's only in a case of yoser mikibetza. It's got a volume that might give you more calories and strength than a kibetza, but as far as the beitz itself is concerned, or anything that is up to the size of a beitza, there's nothing quite on the face of the earth as healthy as a beitza. But kiyasa ravin omar tova beyasa migul galta. Tova means tova, how great, how wonderful and beneficial is a beitza after it becomes scrambled, which means that first and foremost, you roast the egg a little bit, it becomes soft, and that's called a be'asa migulgalta. It's really very healthy. And then mishita, if let's say less of sex, if there are less than shishim lugim shel soles, or more than shishim lugim shel soles, we'll see, is then you can have soles, which is very fine flour, and it's shita kaise, it's six lugim, that's a pretty significant amount, but one beitza, says Ravin, is one soft egg, not exactly our soft eggs, because as I said before, first they roast it, is as healthy, tava beya something, that gulgalta is even healthier for the body than a beitza gulgalta is more healthy to the body when it's soft, as we said before, than shita kaise sulta. Six lugim of solace. A lug is, by the way, the equivalent to six beitzim, and therefore six lugim would probably be 36 beitzim. Now, there's a school for a beitzim gulgeles. It's mentioned in a number of different places. And you'll see this in Gemara Horios on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, Beitzim Agulgeles. Again, we saw this Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Tava Beyasa Migulgalta Mishita. A Beitzo, one single Beita, is better than six Lugim of Soles. And that was Ravin in the previous line of the Gemara. And Beitza mitavisya, or mitavyasa, an egg that was roasted very well, and that's what we call a hard-boiled egg, it's better, me arba lugim shel solis. Arba lugim shel solis. Okay, so this is what we call a mitaviyasa, which means tsluya heitev, it was really very well roasted, and now it became hard. Is that's even better? Me'arba lugim sel solis, from four lugims worth of solis. So Rav Dimi begins by comparing a
Beitza Megulgalta, which is partially roasted but still soft, to a Beitza Megulgalta, which is Mitavisa, which means it's completely roasted and it's ready. We call it a hard-boiled egg. In the first case, it's equal to 6 lugim of solas. In the second case, it's only equal to 4 lugim of solas. So we went down a madriga. And then he's got a boiled egg. And a boiled egg, he says, which isn't roasted at all, we already had a statement of Rav Yanai earlier that kol shu kibetza betza tove menu, anything that has the same volume as this boiled egg has the same, you know, is not as good as a betza, and certainly if it's smaller than in volume than a betza. But labar mi bisra, basar is the only exception, because if you have basar that's the shear of a betza, then it's very healthy and has benefits not less than a betza. Now, in the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Akiva's statement that afilu ochal shelek, even if he eats a cooked vegetable, and that's his mazon, that's what's going to be his food, his meal, the mainstay of his meal, is mevarchal of shalosh brachas. He makes 3 brachas, full-fledged birkas and mazon. Why? Because he can come to Sviya. So Gemara asks, umi kamidi davi shelek mizone? I mean, can shelik really, a cooked vegetable, could that be enough to, the Gemara doesn't believe it could be enough to fill up his belly, that it could be like kidei seuda? Amravashi bekelach shel kruv shanu. You know, they were talking about a cabbage, and a cabbage is if you cook it, it's it fills you up very much. Now the Gemara talks about different kinds of foods. Tan Rabbana and the Chacham taught in a Braisa that chol yofel l'shinayim, the kashel of b'nei me'ayim. The spleen of an animal is good for the teeth. It whitens your teeth, but it's not so good for your intestines. Creation, which is called karsi, a kind of a leak, is kashem l'shinayim. It doesn't help your teeth very much, but yafal b'demiayim, it's good for the digestive system. And kol yerek chai, a general rule as regards to raw vegetables, is morik. It doesn't really do that much for your countenance, you know, the look of on your face. Vikatan, a small thing which hasn't developed fully, so it's unripened, is maktin. It really stunts your growth. And it's gorim that evarv lo yigdulu called sarkom, or it's meitish kocho machlisho. But v'chol nefesh, if you eat something that is a full creature, a nefesh chaya, for example, you eat small fish, you know, these are called sardines, let's say, for example, and they were fully matured, then meshiv es ha-nefesh, then it really strengthens your nefesh. Or perhaps it's as if you return the nefesh to the dog. V'chol karav le-nefesh, meshiv es ha-nefesh. If you eat an animal in the place where its chiyus is that's called meshiv es ha-nefesh. And the Gemara is going to explain that has to do with the shechita, the makom shechita. And finally, we have kruv lemazon, taradin lerefua. We have cabbage, which is good to fill up your belly. And we have beets that are good for health. Oilo lebayis shalefes overs betocho. In other words, bayis here is a symbol of the intent of the stomach of a person. And oilo, woe is it to the stomach that eats a pas. Now, when he says ha lefes overs besocho, he's referring to a pas.
So let's go through all these cases. Some of them are pretty weird. Omar Mar, we saw in the Braisa, Tchol Yofel Shirai V'Koshel B'nei Me'ayim, the Gemara asks, Mai Takante. So on the one hand, he needs to clean his teeth, so he wants to eat Tchol. On the other hand, he doesn't want it to go down into his belly because it's not going to be helpful for his digestive system. So Gemara answers, Nilase V'Neshadye. Let him just chew on the spleen and then spit it forth. Further, we learned in the Braisa, creation, which in Hebrew is called karti, koshim l'shinayim, v'yofin l'bnei me'ayim. So it's something good for your digestive system. You certainly want to take it, but the only problem is, it's bad for your teeth. So maitakante, what can he do that it should be not only good for his me'ayim, for his intestines, but it wouldn't be mazik l'shinayim? And the Gemara answers, Lish lekinu v'nivleinu. Let him cook it in a kedera for a long period of time until it gets so soft that he won't have to chew it anymore with his teeth. He'll just be able to be bolea. He can almost swallow it in one gulp. The Bryce says, Kol yerek chai morik. A natural vegetable in its natural form can take away the tar pun of the countenance. It could have an impact on the countenance. Is Amar Rabbi Yitzchak b'se'ud rishona shel achar hakaza. In other words, if you want to know the status of a raw vegetable, he says that in the first meal after a bloodletting session, a person will then eat yerek chai, and will sudar ishona shel achar hakaza shel dam. I guess at that point he needs something more solid to bring himself back. He's kind of in a weak state. This is not the moment for the eating of a raw vegetable, which could damage him. And then Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Ochel Yerek Kodim Arbashos, if he eats a vegetable too early in the day, it's not yet this mansuda, also a sapere menu, you better not talk to him. My timer Mishum Recha, he has a bad reach in his mouth. And that reach from the Yerek that goes out of his mouth is difficult for people who speak to him and they want to converse with him, and he just, what should I say? The Amar of Yitzchak, also the Yodim Sheyochal Yerek Chai Kodem Arba Shos. We don't eat a raw vegetable in the morning before Arba Shos. And it, once again, probably has to do with Reach, as we said before, because if a person eats certain foods, it gives him bad breath. And we spoke about what was the case here of a Yerek Kodem Arba Shos? In other words, it's not yet Zman Suda. What other case do we have over here? All right, we'll see if we have other cases. Also, Lesapi Meni, you can't talk to him. I time him Mishum Recha. So he has this reach ra that comes out of his mouth. V'yomer Rabbi Yitzchak also la'odam sheyochal yerek chai kodem arba shos. So he really formulates here an isur of eating a raw vegetable before 4 hours. What exactly is he getting all huffy and puffy about? Also, the saper heimenu, my time mishum recha. Maybe it means, trying to figure it out, maybe it means the ochel is not allowed to initiate a conversation because, in a certain sense, it'll kind of damage the person who's listening to him. In any event, this is all because he hasn't eaten his meal yet. Once he eats his meal, he's okay to go, good to go for vegetables. V'yomer Rav Yitzchak, also the Olam Sheyochal Yerek Chai Kodem Arba Shos. It's not clear what exactly he's he's repeating here. One second, kol ochel yerek kodem arba shos. I mean, he does say the word chai, but I tend to believe that even in the previous statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, it should be a reference to yerek chai. And now, Amemer Marzucho Vashi Aviyasve, the three great giants were sitting together. Aisu Kamayu Yerek Chai. At the very beginning of the meal, apparently, they put out a non-cooked vegetable. And this took place before Arba Shos. Amemer Ravashi Ochel, they had no hesitation. They weren't worried about Rabbi Yitzchak's statement about the impact of eating Yerek Chai. Marzucha was very careful because of Rabbi Yitzchak. Omulei, some Meimar and Ravashi turned to Marzucha and they say, "My datach, what's your opinion, Marzucha, about Yerek Chai? Is it the Omer of Yitzchak kol ochel yerek kodem arba shos also l'sapei menu mishum recha? You don't want to eat the yerek in the early part of the day because that will enjoin you from teaching others." So the Gemara now asks, "V'anan deka achlinon v'kamish tais bahadon." We eat a yerek, and nobody seems to be uptight about speaking to us. And it really seems that there's no real chashash here for Rabbi Yitzchak's statement, which is based on Reach Ra. A memer amar zutra of Ashi, aviyasvi, they were sitting together, these three Amoroim, Aisu, Kamayu, they brought in front of them yerek chai, kodem arba shos. So they brought a raw vegetable for them to eat, and it was early in the day, and that's going to be a problem. But a memer of Arashi ochel, they weren't concerned with this. You know, even though in the previous Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak was saying that a person should not eat an yerek chai before arba shos. Again, I don't know why it's osur, but the Gemara says that it might have an effect on his breath. But they weren't impressed by that. But Marzucha lo achel, he shied away from eating it. So Amru le, they turned to Marzucha and they said to him, My daitach, what is your opinion about that? Why are you inhibited and you don't want to eat it? And if it's the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, because of the statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, lo achel yerek kodem arba shos, also l'sapere menu mishum recha, you shouldn't be conversing with such a person because he has such a bad breath. And therefore, you didn't want to put yourself into that position where you would have bad breath and people would not be allowed to talk to you. He says, "V'anan kachlinon, we eat a vegetable in the morning, mishtayis badon, and nobody hesitates from talking to us." It sounds like there's no issue of Reach HaPeh, and we're not choshesh, we're not worried about Rabbi Yitzchak. Amalahu, so Marzucha answers, "Anak ke'idach Rabbi Yitzchak svirulei." My issue is a different statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, "Asu li adam sheyochal yerek chai kodem arba shos." In other words, the Issa is not because you can't talk to someone who ate Yerek Chai in the early hours, but you're not allowed to eat Yerek Chai. You yourself are not allowed. So in other words, the first statement was that you're not supposed to talk to someone, is also a saper, but now we're saying that you're not allowed to even eat the Yerek Chai. And it's not exactly clear why that's so, but right now, we'll accept it sort of axiomatic.
No, but, it's only Kodesh Marbashos, right?
Yeah, only in the morning. Yeah, this is like, let's say, in a perfect day from 6 to, maybe 6 to 10 or something like that. Then the Brisa says, Kol Katan, in other words, if you eat some food that's underdeveloped, Maktin, it'll somehow stifle your growth. Omer Rav Chisda, Afilu Gaja Barzuza, even if you have a gdi that's worth a zuz, because usually a gdi when it's fully mature is worth two zuzim, and even if this gdi is quite fat, you know, it looks like a good goat, you know, let's slaughter it and eat its meat, but nevertheless, since it didn't reach its maturity, then it's maktin, it somehow stifles your growth. V'lo amar, and this only applies el deles bay riva. In other words, it hasn't grown one quarter, 25% of its full growth. So it's just a quarter on its way. Aval isbe riva, if it matured that much, then less lamba, it's not considered katan. In other words, it's not going to have that negative impact. Then kol nefesh, if you eat a full nefesh, Shalem, we'll see exactly the case, is Meshiv Nefesh. That's very healthy for the body. Omer Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, what's the case? He says, Afilu Gildone Debegile. These are small fish, like sardines, that you can find amongst the reeds out there in the swamps and stuff like that, and they don't grow too large. So if you're able to take a small fish and eat it whole, it's going to be meshiv nefesh. It somehow, you know, will give you, you know, some sort of a healthy kick. I don't know. It'll protect your nefesh. Then the Brisa says, "Kol akarov la nefesh." Now, there's a part of the animal's body, like the neck, where you shech the animal. And some say that the reason why you want to eat from that part is that's where he made the bracha of the shechita. Like the bracha on the shechita, when he slaughtered the animal, is sort of chal on the neck of the animal. And that's called meshivas hanefesh. That also has a power to give you a certain vitality. Omer Rav Acha Bar Yitzchak Unka. Unka is an Aramaic word that refers specifically to the place in the neck where they did the shechita, and it's close to the heart and close to the intestines. And we suggested that the reason why he wants to eat there is because the bracha on the shechita was related specifically to that area in the neck where he does the shechita. However, there are apparently other approaches here. I have a footnote. He says that Rov Basar Aguf Karov Yosel Alev Lemeayimi Basar Tzavor. So most of the flesh of the animal is closer to the heart and the kishkes than it is to the neck. And therefore, the Marsha doesn't like this pshat. He suggests that kol karv lenefesh hainu shekarv lemakom hashchita. As Rashi doesn't mention makom hashchita. Sorry. So let's try to understand this Gemara here. We're talking about, right here on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, we're talking about a case of eating a certain part of the animal's body, and that's going to be meshiv nefesh, somehow it's healthy. So Rashi says that this place, which is located in the neck, is close to the heart and the intestines. Rashi is very short-winded. He says, Dibra maschil unka, which is the Aramaic word, Rashi says, for tzavar, for the neck of the animal, that's where you want to eat. Makom beis hashchita v'samuch lelev ulemeayim. It's located close to the heart and the kishkis. Now the Marsha understood that what Rashi is trying to tell you is that
Like that's a part that's got a lot of meat to it. But the Marsha says that there's a lot more meat in the area below the neck, let's say when you get closer to the belly of the animal. So why would you want to eat the neck? And therefore he thinks that what's Iker here is the Makom Shechita, that's where the dam goes out after he slaughters the animal, and that's the Nefesh, because the Pasuk says, Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh. And it seems that some of Farshim, I don't find it right this second, but they would argue that that's the place where he made the bracha, and therefore it has some sort of a spiritual elevation. The Gemara tells us, Amale Rava Lishame. So Rava talks to his servant, and he tells him, Ki Maisi Umtza Debisra. When you go to the butcher and you want to buy a piece of meat, you know, raw meat, Tarach, make a special effort. V'aisili mehecha dimakarev lebei baruch. Oh, this is what I was referring to. I knew I had something in the back of my mind here. He's saying that I want you to find a place in the animal, this is the meat that I want you to buy for me, that's close to bei baruch. Bei baruch means the place where they say baruch, meaning where they recite the bracha on the shechita, means the neck. Then the Brisa says, kruv lemazon, that if you eat cabbage, it really fills you up. And tradin lerfua, and if you eat, I guess, a kind of a beet, beets or something like that, then it's healthy for you. The health people for stomach and so forth, they recommend beets. Have you heard that? You've heard that? Anyway. Yeah, I don't love beets, but you know it's supposed to be healthy. So the Gemara's medayik here, kruv lemazon in lerfua lo. Are you telling me that cabbage is not necessarily a health food? V'atanya, we have a brisa, shisha dvar merapim esachola micholyo urfuasan refua. There are six categories of foodstuffs that will help you and bring you back your health. And take a look at this list. V'elohim kruv, utradin. Now, trudin, we said before, might be this beet salad, which we already have in the brisa that it's healthy. But we're adding kruv, which before we said would fill up your belly. It didn't necessarily have the medicinal aspect to it. Meisisin. This they used to use mint, which we call here in Israel nana, and they would cook with nana in it, and that apparently nana is very healthy. And dvash, now it's not clear to me whether he means straight, unadulterated dvash, or maybe he means that you mix dvash with something else. In any event, there's another girsa here, and the girsa is yavesh, because actually if you count up the number here, the number is seven. But if instead of the word dvash you have yavesh, take out the dalet and put in a yud, then the word yavesh is going back on meisisin, which probably means that they took the nano leaves and they dried them. And after they dried them, it has a medicinal effect. And then there's something called the keva, and that's part of the intestines of the animal. And heres, which is actually the womb of an animal, I guess of a female animal. And then there's last but not least, yoseres hakoved, which is a slice of meat that separates the liver from the lungs. It's otherwise known in Hebrew as sar efes. And it's clear from this list here in the Brisa that kruv is therapeutic. So therefore, ela emo, you have to sort of rewrite the Brisa, kruv afla mazon. For sure, the cabbage is healthy for the body, but in addition, it fills you up. Then the Brisa says, oilo lebayis shalefes overes betocha. Now the bayis here is apparently a symbol for the stomach. And lefes is something that usually you eat together with bread. So if lefes goes into your body, I forgot the English word for lefes now, it's a turnip, I think it's called in English. And apparently they used to eat a turnip with bread. But the point is that if you overdo it on bread, maybe it's high in carbohydrates, then he says, woe to you, that's not a good idea. So Gemara says, Eini, is that really true? Va'amar le Rava l'shamei, Rava said to his servant, ki chazes lifta b'shuka, if you see this turnip in the shuk, lo temali, don't ask me, b'mai karchas rifta. In other words, what are you going to use to eat with your bread? Meaning, I guess, should I buy it? Ella, but rather, teda levad, you should know on your own that for sure I'd want you to buy this lifter so I could eat it with bread. I mean, it seems from Rava that eating this turnip is not a bad thing, eating it with bread. Omar Abaye, the Bryce says, mibli basar. There's a difference between Rava. Rava is mibli yayin. So let's try to understand what's going on here. Abaye is telling us that in the case of lefes, which was cooked as a vegetable, that's not necessarily healthy. But if you cook it together with meat, then the fatty element of the meat somehow it neutralizes, if you will, the negative power of the turnip, and then it's tov laguf. Everything is fine for the body. So it seems that my pshat was not necessarily correct. I thought the problem here was with overdoing it on bread, but the Gemara seems to be focused totally on lefes, on what's the
yeah.
Do you have, by any chance, a Hebrew dictionary? If I'm going to look up the word lefes, I just hope that it's a turnip.
Artscroll.
Oh, Artscroll says it's a turnip. Okay, so I don't have to bother looking it up. We'll rely on Artscroll. Okay. Very good. So now, I don't have Artscroll. I should get it. I just didn't get it. In any event, somebody told me you can get it online, but I think that's a mistake.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a mistake. In any event, so if he cooks this turnip with meat, then somehow the mixture of the meat with its fats creates an upgrade to the lefes, to the turnip, and then everything is fine. But Rava, he said that the brisa with regard to lefes is mibli yayin, which means the following: kisha eno shosach re'al yayin, if he doesn't drink wine after he eats the turnip, then it's a problem. The turnip itself could somehow damage the body. It has a certain, a very powerful influence. But kisheshosach rea yayin, when he drinks wine after the lefes, that again neutralizes. So it's either either one or two things. Either cooking the lefes with meat is going to neutralize the lefes, or perhaps drinking wine after you eat the lefes. Okay, getting back to Achilas Pas, Itmar. We learned in the base message, Rav Omar, when we said that Achilas Lefes is Mazika, it's a negative, detrimental to your health. That's Bili Basa. Okay, so that would support what we saw in the Gemara about Rav, that if you cook the lefes with meat, then you neutralize the negative factor in the lefes. Shmuel Amar, Mibli Eitzim. Eitzim is referring to the fire underneath a pot, and what it means is that if he didn't cook the lefes long enough, then it is mazik. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mibli Yayin, it's mazik if you don't drink wine afterwards. Amale Rav Rav Papa. Rav talks to Rav Papa. Now this Rav Papa is Sudani. I guess that's his profession. He's busy making beer out of dates. That's called a Sudani. Asiya Shechar Mitmarim. Anyway, Anan Tavrinale Bibisra Vachamra. We break up this powerful force, this negative force of the lefes, by cooking it with meat or by drinking wine after it. Atun delo nafish luchu chamra. In your house, they don't have much wine. I guess wine was expensive in those days. then what you should do is b'may tavrisu, what should you, my tavrisu le, you don't drink wine, maybe you drink beer but not wine, so you have to find some substitute for wine in order to neutralize the negative effects, the impact of lefes. So what do you use? So Rav was curious. He had his own solutions, Rav, no problem. But what did Rav Papa do to solve this problem? Omer le, Rav Papa says, bitzive, with wood. In other words, I get a lot of wood and I fire up the campfire, and then I put the lefes on a pot, in a pot, and it becomes cooked turnips. I think Lamaisa, a lot of, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if our turnips is the same as their turnips, but a lot of women will use turnips in their soup. And that's fine because it's already cooked. Ki hada basi de Rav Papa, the wife of Rav Papa, basar de mevashlala, after they would cook the lefes, tavrile, they would break up the power or the koach of this lefes through bishul, besamnon ufe parsiosa. Now tamnin is equal to 80, and ufe parsiosa is translated here into Hebrew as bikios shel etzim gedolos, which are logs of wood. Imagine she needed 80 logs of wood to create enough of a fire in order to cook the lefes for the longest period of time, which would somehow, as we said before, neutralize the negative power of the lefes. Now, it seems to my mind that would have, first of all, cost a bomb of money to get 80 logs, you know, wasted. I'm thinking to myself, it's like people here in Yerushalayim, you know, some of the fruma, they'll rent out an oven on Erev Pesach, you know, a few days before Pesach, to bake matzahs, and they end up with 3 matzahs, and they're all burnt, by the way. So how much money do you want to spend just to cook the lefes? This I don't understand. I guess the lefes was, or at least amongst wealthy people, was considered a delicacy. Maybe it was very healthy, and they were willing to lashkia, as we say, to invest the time and the money in cooking lefes. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a braisa, dog katan moliach, small herring, pa'amim shu memis. There are certain days, if you eat it on the wrong day, apparently, it could actually kill you. So we have to tell that to the herring lovers. You know, in our shul, there are a bunch of herring lovers. It seems the South Africans like herring, and the Dutch like herring. Anyway, so what are the time periods that you should avoid? You should avoid herring. Number one, be Shiva, the seventh day. I'm not sure what it means. The seventh day after you fish it out of the wood. I don't know exactly what that means. Here he says seventh day limali chaso. I guess they did malicha for a long time. They would soak it in brine, and after 7 days, you know, that's going to make it dangerous. So is he telling us that there's something wrong with the number 7? It seems to be a separate halacha than number 7. Because look at the next. He says, Bishiv Asar, is on the 17th day after you put it into the brine, or B'Esrim B'Shiv on the 27th day, V'Amri Le, others say B'Esrim U'Shlosh. I mean, that destroys my thesis. I mean, 23 is not a 7. I don't know. But on these days, after you left the dog, the small fish for a long time, those days are dangerous days. But it sounds to me like he's saying only on those days. Otherwise, there's no danger. So this whole thing is a little odd to me. Anyway, he says, Lo Amoran, I only meant Ella b'mitve. Mitve means roasting. So if you roast the herring a little bit, but it hasn't been completely roasted, velo mitve means it's not roasted, that then you have a problem. But Abel Mitve once it's completely roasted, it's sharper, then it's fine. Less labud, doesn't have any negative impact on your health. So the main thing is to roast your herring full blast until it's called sarko, he says. Udelo mitvi shapir lo amoron. Lo mitvi shapir, if you haven't shall we say roasted it, you know, in the satisfactory way, lo amarnu. Now, what does it mean, lo amarnu here, lo amoron? Now, it's even though the dog was not fully roasted, lo amor. Oh, let's see if we can read the next line of the Gemara. Lo amarnu el delo shasa basrei shikra. If he didn't drink beer afterwards, havel shasa basrei shikra leslan ba. We don't have to worry about the impact of herring if we drink beer after the herring. I mean, this is great. I mean, I personally don't like herring so much. I don't like beer.
Yeah, I know.
So, but the good news is I don't have to drink beer because I'm not going to be eating herring. But if you eat herring, right, you got to drink beer.
Right.
And again, I don't know why these specific days, you know, are bad days. Do you have any note over there, maybe, in your...
Nothing.
I have a feeling that even Artsko couldn't figure this Gemara out.
No, nothing on the day.
Right. Anyway, let's just go on a little bit. He says the following. We're talking about making a bracha on water. Hashosamayim litzimo, if he's thirsty. Then he recites Shakol Nia Bidvaro. Lafuki mai. So when does he drink water and he's not thirsty? Amrav Idibar Oven Lafuki. This is the exclusion of what's called dechankete umtza. In other words, he's got something caught in his throat. Let's say a piece of meat. I don't know if the Gemara gives that piece, that example. I mean, I can give you another 20 examples. But anyway, he's got to get something, you know, wash it down, because otherwise he can't swallow anything. So he drinks water. But he's really drinking water in a sense for health purposes, but not for enjoying the water. So in such a case, he doesn't enjoy the water, he doesn't make a bracha lefanes. So for example, like a classical case would be, let's say you take a pill and you drink it down with the water, you would not make a bracha on the pill. So let's just read. I want to talk to you a little bit about water and this, if you have a few minutes. But first, let's just finish up Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says that if he drinks water because he's thirsty, he makes a bracha not only b'faneha, but also l'achreha. He makes a bar nefashos rabos v'chesronon. Amalei Rava Bar Chanan la'baye v'amri le'odes sailor of Yosef. So this is a statement of Rava, and he says Hilchas Omai, how do we paskin? And he says Amalei Puk Chazi Mai Amadbar. Let's go out and see what people are knowing. What's the general custom? In other words, there's no strict standard or uniform halacha as far as this whole issue. Some people will recite Shahakal on Mayim if they're thirsty. Maybe other people won't, but our minig apparently is that we do make a bracha on shakal. Not only that, we recite bar nefashos after we drink water. But again, all that is because he's thirsty. Now, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this. There's an extensive literature here in the Masifta on this piece of Gemara about water. So let's see if we can mention a few of the points they make. Point number one is that this principle that we're seeing here in water is not limited to water. It really applies to other things, right? There are other times that you'll perhaps, you know, you'll take something wet that's moist and liquidy, and you'll take it into your mouth simply because you're thirsty. And even those things might not... Well, let me put it to you this way. Anything that has moisture in it, except for water, pretty much has some t-
tam to it. It has some taste to it. I don't know if you can think. I can't think of anything in this universe except for water that's totally, totally tasteless. That you would eat something that's tasteless. But in the case of mayim, since it doesn't have a tam, it's tasteless. What hana would you be enjoying such that you would make a brach on? And the answer is that you would make a brach because you're thirsty. I mean, water is so critical, you know, to be hydrated, when you're thirsty. However, if you have something in your throat and you want to get it out of your throat, that's not considered a hana. That's not considered something that would generate a chiyuv bracha. And the reason for that is because since mayim in general has no tam, so you know, what is your benefit? What is your hana? So you're going to tell me, well, my hana is to cough up something that's in my throat, that's stuck. That's not a hana from the mayim itself. It's just the mayim in this case is functioning to help me clear my throat. But I wouldn't say that I'm in any way enjoying the taste of the mayim. But what happens in the case of Shar Mashkin? He has other foodstuffs or drinks, and they are not like mayim exactly. Why? Because they have a tam. So the goof, the body is nene from that tam. So then you make a bracha on those mashkim, whatever they are. And the only exception to that rule might be if he has something stuck in his throat. So he doesn't have any water available. He drinks, apple juice or something to get something out of his throat. Then that's considered, I'm not sure if everybody agrees with this, but if you take a look at Tosfos on the top of our page, it's considered what's called shosel refua. Meaning he's not benefiting from the drinking, he's just getting it out of his throat. That's like a refuah, he's alleviating his discomfiture. Now again, on which hanah is he making the bracha? You know, if you're going to focus on the hanah that he got something out of his throat, which is really like a refuah, I don't think we'd make a bracha on that.
No.
But if, on the other hand, he's drinking Shar Mashkim, and although he's doing it for the sake of refuah, but he's nena mitamo, right? He drinks this orange juice and he enjoys it because he likes the tam of orange juice, is then tzarech levarach, he has to make a bracha. Now, Tosfos quotes Rav Amram Gon, one of the Gaonim, and he says that this whole discussion is before shtias mayim, but after he drinks the water, he has to make a bracha, even though he's drinking the water in order to achieve a refuah. However, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Moshe. He's not a very frequently quoted Bala Tosfos, but he tells us that kevon sheino nene ein mevarech al shtia zu lo lefaneha v'lo lachreha. So let's just try to figure out what's the difference between Rav Amram Gon and Rabbeinu Moshe. Rav Amram Gon says that you don't make a bracha, it's lifnei shtia samayin, but liachra shtia chayv levarech. I'm not sure exactly why it should make a difference. If we're talking about lirfua, for some reason that this has to be investigated. He's saying that he needs to make a brach achron. Again, if he's talking about shar mashkin that he drinks lirfua, I understand that he needs a brach because he's enjoying the tam. But what he says here, the name of Rav Amram, that in the case of shtias mayim, which we said if he's drinking it to get something out of his throat, l'refui, doesn't make a bracha, that's only l'faneh, but l'achra shtia chayev l'varch. I have no clue why he would say such a thing. But the good news is that Rabbeinu Moshe, quoted here in this Tosu, says that
it's only because he doesn't get any hanah, therefore he's not going to make a bracha before he drinks the water or after he drinks the water. But this kind of a distinction that he doesn't make a bracha before the shtiyas mayim, but he will make a bracha. But he will make a bracha after the shtiyas, meaning a bracha achrona. I'm not sure I have a clue what that's all about.
Yeah, that seems strange.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He says here, by the way, that after shtiyas mayim, according to Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon was the one who said that if he's thirsty, then he recites a Bar Nefashos after he drinks the water. However, in a case of I'm just going to read this to you. He says, "Gabi Bracha Shaliachar Shtiyas Mayim Kosev B'Tosa Rosh Shaladas Rabbi Tarfon Eino Mavarch Klum." I mean, we didn't see that in our gears. Sherei Lomat Sanu Bracha Cheres Hashayeches Liachar Shtiyas Mayim Ela Bar Nefashos. So this requires a little bit more work. Anyway, I want to give you a little bit of a taste, if we're talking about taste here, of the Masifta. The Masifta has a little bit of an introduction to the next perek, which is the seventh perek.
Okay.
And he says that the subject of this perek is twofold, Zimun and Birkas HaMazon, which are interrelated. Which means he says that after you eat a meal, you have a meal made of pas, then you have to be Mevarach Birkas HaMazon, and if three people are eating together, then they're obligated in a mitzvah called Zimun. Lezamen Yachet Klomar, what does this mean, Zimun? Zimun is Miloshen Lahazmin. Right, you so to speak invite or designate Be'amira Levarach Ki Echad. So we gather together, you know, somebody calls us to attention, so to speak, and what we're going to do is we're going to make the Bracha Ke Echad,
right,
all together. And Amira Zu Nikreis Birchas Hazimun V'Sidra He Sha'omer echad meyam nevarach shachal mishalo, v'acherim onim baruch shachal mishalo tochayinu. Who calls him v'yomer baruch shachal mishalo tochayinu? Now the impression I get here, and I hope as we go along it'll be clearer, is that Birkas HaZimun was recited by one. I mean, first there was a niyah back and forth, but when they were ready for the actual benching, it was recited by one person. Very fascinating. I never. Oh yeah, actually, I did see this once. Now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, I saw this once. Have you ever seen this Ira where the mezamein makes the bracha Birkas HaMazon and everyone just listens to him?
So you're talking about the entire Bracha HaMazon.
Yeah.
No, but our scroll says the same thing.
That what the one person.
At the time of the Talmud, there was one person that would make it, and everybody would answer Amen.
Right. Apparently, at the time...
To each bracha.
Right, at the time of the Gemara, it was like one bracha for all of us. And it's not that we're each making our own bracha, but there should be one common bracha. And that's generated by a zimun. It reminds me very much of Chazaras HaShatz, that we are all davening together through the tefillah of the shatz.
Right.
Now he says that in this chapter, the seventh chapter, we're going to address the following issues. All the laws of Zimun, how many people you need for a Zimun, who's roy to be mitztarif to a Zimun, what kind of food do they have to eat,
right,
so that we can include them in the Zimun, how to exactly achieve and implement the mitzvah of Zimun. All of this is going to be addressed in the seventh parak.
But they say, you know what, this could be the reason why the person leading the Zimun is supposed to say the first bracha out loud.
Right. Yeah, that's probably a vestige.
That
it's like a vestige
right,
of the original right. Minna.